We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Running the option on first down. Hagan has it. He has room. He's got one man to beat. Now he pitches to Flanagan, and he may take it all the way. Flanagan's in for the touchdown.
McKinley Wright from the logo.
Oh, got it.
Oh, McKinley Wright.
Breaks a tackle. Touchdown. Touchdown. That's five for Chris Brown.
The defense of Tomlinson.
Got three people down there. The ball's up in the air. Caught. Touchdown. Caught by Westbrook for a touchdown.
I think they like my Colorado sway. Cause when I'm in it, play. I don't really know just how to A. And when I'm in it, go. You know I'm acting bad. Holly get a bus with my Colorado sway.
Welcome into the DNVR Buffs podcast presented by the American Raptors. I'm Henry Chisholm, and today we're back to football. I think since we're getting back to football after a much-needed bye week, Saturday was incredible. Saturday was really incredible because I really like watching college football, and as crazy as it sounds, like when you cover college football, you don't actually get to watch any college football because all day it's. I mean, what time's the game this week? 1:30. So I'll be up in Boulder at like 9. I'll be doing whatever before the game, and then you go to the game, and then that ends at 5, and then you start interviews at 5:30 or so, and then you get to drive back down to Boulder around 6, or back to Denver around 6:30, and then post-game show, and then write something else, and then all of a sudden, you have no idea what happened in any college football game all day, except for there'll be, like, rumors going around. Like you'll just be sitting there, and during a timeout, somebody will be like, hey, you heard that Iowa just whatever. And you're like, oh, there's just a little tiny piece of information. But the point is, to have a Saturday just to sit at home and eat McDonald's and watch football all day was incredible, especially with the games that were going on Saturday. All of them were the best. I shout out DraftKings Sportsbook. I got Texas A&M at 12-1 odds to win that game against Alabama, and they did. And so that was a pretty cool night for me. It was like I think I lost a little bit of money outside of that, but not much. It was by like one or two units maybe. And so to bring in 12 units there, it's like all of a sudden a 10-unit day. Just incredible. But yeah, bye week was nice. And, you know, looking through Instagram, it looks like a bunch of the team went home, had a chance to take their mind off of things. And I honestly don't think the coaches had much of a chance to do that. They were out recruiting at the end of last week. Maybe they found a way to get a day off at some point. And I know, like, you hear that and say, like, well, look at how bad this team is. They don't need a day off. But there is real value in just spending some time thinking about something else. And then getting back into it, because you can get so caught up in just the bad vibes, really. I do hope that there was a chance for some of the coaches to take their mind off of things a little bit too. We'll see. But yeah, while the bye week was nice, we are back at it. And let's see, what's the plan for today? You know, Carl Durrell did have a press conference today, spoke for, I think, like 9 minutes or something. Really not all that much to say. Honestly, like, we've talked about why that is, because the questions are kind of the same and the answers are the same, and so there really isn't anything to take away. We'll touch on what exactly went down with that to start things off, but then just kind of get our bearings straight. You know, get ready for what is it, another 7 weeks of CU football. And, you know, you look through the schedule and there are some wins out there. Got to play better than they've played, but I think 3-4 is reasonable. I don't think I'm picking the Buffs to win a game until we see the offense actually take just a small step forward. Because we'll talk about it. They did play some tough teams. I think a lot of what went wrong was self-inflicted, which means that it doesn't matter too much who you play. But 1-4 at this point, if somebody said before the season that's where the Buffs would be, we'd all be disappointed. But you'd also say, you know what? Texas A&M, yeah, it's a team that should beat Colorado. USC, Arizona State, those are the two best teams, at least we thought, in the Pac-12 South. Minnesota, that's a tough test. And that's kind of the swing game when it comes to winning that second game when you look through those first five games. But we'll get our bearings straight, get kind of some early prep done on Arizona, and that's the plan for today. And I'm excited. Next couple days, I think tomorrow I'm talking with Nigel Bethel and Jack Lamb. Some questions for those guys for sure. We'll get some of that audio on the podcast. I'm going to get up to Boulder for basketball practice at some point. Not tomorrow, but maybe, I mean, probably Wednesday, but then also maybe Thursday or Friday. We'll see. And then obviously game day on Saturday. We will be doing a crossover show with PHNX, basically the Arizona version of DNVR that just launched a few weeks ago, because they are sending a couple of their Arizona representatives up here for this game. And we'll see what they have to say. That time has not been figured out yet, but that'll be Friday at some point, and it should be a lot of fun. I think McChesney's podcast this week is going to be on Thursday. And I don't know, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's just me. And I guess if we're going to go through, like, in depth what Arizona does, strengths and weaknesses, I'm going to have to find some time to go back and watch them. I did obviously get to watch them play on Saturday. That was a great game against UCLA. But yeah. So there we go. That's the plan for the week. And let's just start with what Carl Durrell had to say. So the big news, obviously, Carson Lee. We kind of ran through the whole situation on the last podcast. Go back and check that out if you haven't yet. But the brief recap, charged with assault. He was arrested last weekend, like 8 days ago, 9 days ago now. You know, any arrest isn't going to look pretty, but, you know, the police report, that sort of stuff, it paints a pretty ugly picture. Allegedly beating up and punching, according to the victim, 30 times, sent him to the hospital with a fractured skull. The details are in that last podcast. But yeah, so all that came out at the end of the week. Carl had his only media availability on Monday last week. And so this is the first we've heard from him since that news broke. And he said that at this point, Carson is still on the team, but he isn't really doing anything because he's focused on the legal things going on. and they're going to let that whole process play out and see what the evidence is and what the court decides and all that kind of stuff. And then they'll kind of go from there. And I don't, they said felony man's, or no, sorry, felony assault was the charge, but that can mean first degree or second degree. Either one of those, if he's just found guilty, there's likely a pretty significant amount of jail time or prison time. And so odds are he would no longer be with the team. But Carl did say that that process is going to kind of run its course and kind of figure itself out, and then they'll make any decisions they have to make once they have all the facts, which I think is the right way to handle it. I'll say that. There's no cost to keeping him technically on the team right now. Because he's not really going to be around, is my understanding. Some people might say it's like a bad look because he is charged with that, but yeah, it's a balance, you know, he's your teammate. And I don't know. It's innocent until proven guilty is the way the courts work. And honestly, like, I don't know. We don't need to get into my whole thoughts on innocent until proven guilty. There are a lot of times, though, where you have to remember that that applies to the court. You know, that's the legal system that is the way that works, is innocent until proven guilty. In terms of, like, the football program, like, they do not have that responsibility. Similar, like, you have the free speech discussion. We don't need to get down all those roads, but I don't know. I saw some people upset with that decision. I think that's just kind of a continuation of the frustration that is boiling over for all sorts of other reasons. You know, like I said, it was a pretty short press conference. There really aren't that many questions to ask at this point. Because there's nothing new. You know, you've lost 3 straight games by 22 points or more. So after the first one, you know, you say, hey, this doesn't look good. I mean, what went wrong? What is the issue? You know, the offensive line, they've struggled. What is the problem? At this point, we all know what all the problems are. And even if we didn't know, we've asked Carl for 3 weeks what the problems are. And so asking again, there just isn't much going on. You know, the only real questions are, like, are there any changes? And the answer is basically no. In terms of structural things, no real changes. Asked specifically about the play calling, he said there will be no changes to the play calling. He did say that some of the responsibilities will be shifted to other coaches when it comes to game planning. And I don't know exactly what that will look like, but it's something, right? it's moving toward that direction. It was a step that I guess I had never considered. You know, it seems like you either change the play caller or you don't, but that's not halfway in between, but it's a 10% move in that direction. So yeah. And again, people are upset that he isn't changing the play caller. He's not taking those responsibilities away from Darren Cheverini. I get it. And I agree. I think that would be the right move. But again, you're still 5 weeks into the season, you know, and I think that to change your play caller 3 or 4 weeks in is probably too short of a leash. You know, you got to give him a chance to see what the personnel is, to see what the strengths and weaknesses are. At this point, the weaknesses look like they're the quarterback absolutely is a weakness. The offensive line is absolutely a weakness. The running backs are not the strength that we had probably all expected them to be. And then kind of the tight ends and the receivers, you just can't really evaluate them because they haven't had much of a chance to do anything. So those first couple of weeks, you know, you don't really learn anything against Northern Colorado. Then you have Texas A&M, and you don't really learn anything there because that's the best defense you're going to play all year. And you lost by 3 points, so you're not really complaining. And then against Minnesota is when things really blow up, because up until that point, there's at least some doubt. You know, you can look at what's happened and say, okay, yeah, the offense is underperformed, but you're within 3 points of the number five team in the country. So it's not time to press the panic button, but then you go and lose 30-0. That is time to press the panic button. And, you know, that's not really Carl Durrell's MO. And you go from there to the same thing kind of happening against Arizona State, now USC. I did think that this point you probably do pass play calling responsibilities off to Danny Langsdorf. Or maybe Carl takes them for himself, but I would be a little bit more surprised by that. Yeah, it's... I mean, the way it works is people are going to be really, really, really mad at Carl if Colorado continues to lose. If they start winning, then the tides will turn a little bit. And it's kind of on him to do what he thinks gives Colorado the best chance of winning. You know, and I don't think just because it seems like to us that the problem is Darren Cheverini's play calling, that's necessarily what the problem actually is. Because, again, at the end of the day, those guys do all have more information than us. They're in all the meetings. They know the relationships. They know how things are going in practice and what's not working from there to the game and figuring those things out. Again, I still think that you've got to change that play calling situation somehow. But, you know, it's Carl's show, and he's going to succeed or he's going to fail. And that's just the way it works. And if they win this week against Arizona, I mean, it's not like that's the biggest win. To me, Arizona is the worst team in Power 5 football, worse than Vanderbilt, and worse than Kansas, I guess. Who else is even down there at the bottom? I mean, Colorado at this point, but it's at least a step in the right direction. And then the Cal game is where you can say, okay, this is a real football team. So there's some thoughts there. But getting back to the press conference, what else did he have to say? Again, there isn't much he can say, right? Like, practice has been going well. It was a good practice today. Nobody wants to hear that, but it's kind of the only update that we have since last week when we talked to him. The one big detail, I guess, the tackles. So Max Ray, he was in concussion protocol. He is, according to Carl, I think he said he thinks that he's going to be back in practice tomorrow, like in pads, all that. So that's good news, obviously. He didn't expand all that much, I don't think, on Frank Philip knocking the rust off. But that offensive line is really, really, really struggling. And, you know, it's just tough because it seems like at this point there's this three-headed monster of problems on the offensive side of the ball. And you can argue about what order to put them in. But quarterback, play calling, offensive line, it's really tough to put them in order. Because you know what? If you give Brendan Lewis a good offensive line, what does he look like? I mean, he's not going to be all conference, but is he at least not the worst in the Pac-12? Are you at least averaging 150 passing yards a game? Because, I mean, there's obviously the sacks that come out of having a bad offensive line. But there's also the fact that you have a young quarterback who's sitting there thinking he's about to get hit at all times. And just being in that mindset is probably much more impactful than the sacks that are given up. I don't think it's enough to make a huge difference, just based on what we've seen. But you do have that at play. You know, obviously the play calling, obviously what Brendan is, the way he's struggling himself. There's those three big problems. And when you combine those three together, I mean, that's what it takes to struggle in this way, right? I mean, to lose by 22 plus, to put up, what was it, USC, they had like 13 points, something like that, which is the most in a couple weeks. There's got to be a lot of problems, and there are three really, really big problems. But yeah, Max Rae coming back, that'd be good. Not necessarily because he's been all that impressive when he's been on the field. Honestly, none of those linemen have. Kari Cooch. So here's the thing. The media guide says Cooch, or at least it did last year. I haven't double-checked this year. But he said Cooch in, like, the introductions. So we're going Cooch now. Kari Cooch. He's actually been solid, but there's four other guys out there. Anything else from Darrell? Doesn't look like it. We can move along. Actually, before we just kind of talk a little bit more about this week and the standards and all those fun things that we get to talk about this season, let's take a quick break. And first of all, let me say that if you are an Avalanche fan who is a member of DMVR, you should definitely check in the Discord, the Avalanche channel. There's some really cool stuff going on Saturday, and tickets are almost gone, so make sure you get in on that quick. Really cool stuff. So there's that. One of the many perks of being a member of DMVR are some cool opportunities like the one on Saturday that I wish I could give the details of, but it's actually super secret, and you can't even figure out what's going on without it, but without being a member. But there's a bunch of other stuff. You can read what I've been writing. What do I have on the way? Oh, I'm wrapping up a thing on Ty Robinson and Chase Penry. There's a film room on Nate from Jake, that came out on Friday, I think. Then obviously a bunch of pregame stuff this week. Who else? Oh, I said, Nigel Bethel and Jack Lamb, talking to them tomorrow. Obviously write about that. I want to talk with Eli Parquet at some point this week, just because, I mean, it's been a couple of years since I've talked to him because of the pandemic. Just catch up with him, see what life is like and all that. But yeah, so there's what's going on there. Plus, we do have a tailgate before this game. I'm not sure what time it's going to be, but there will be a tailgate before the Arizona game. I'll be up there drinking beers, given to us by Breckenridge Brewery, another one of our great partners. They've got seltzers, they've got beers. It's all incredible stuff. And if you want, you can. There's actually like a 15 can sampler, so you can check out a bunch of different things. They have samplers for the seltzers too. That's the move. I feel like, especially if you haven't tried stuff in Breckenridge before, just load up on a bunch of different options, and then figure out what you like and go from there. You really can't go wrong. I'm a big seltzer guy, just lighter than beer. Plus, I don't know. I don't mind beer. I used to, but I still just prefer seltzers. Whatever it is that you like, though, the Strawberry Sky is incredible. The seltzers are all incredible. Lemonade seltzers are good. You can use the beer locator on the Breckenridge Brewery website. It'll tell you exactly where to go to pick that up, whatever it is you want to try. Also, DraftKings Sportsbook. Another week of the NFL season means another shot to win big at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet just $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. The last 0-0 tie in the NFL was in 1943, so I'd say this is a no-brainer. Plus, if you're already a DraftKings customer, you can get skin in the game with new same-game parlays. You can combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code DMVR and bet just $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's promo code DMVR this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Okay. We are jumping into this week. So, again, we don't need to get into the details of Arizona yet. There's plenty of time over the course of the next couple days. But, like I said, just get our bearings straight after that bye week and try to set some goals, really, for this team. And like I mentioned before, you know, yeah, 1-4 is always going to suck. And I think especially... I think this year there was hope that this team could be a Pac-12 title contender. I at least had bought into that. I didn't necessarily think they'd do it, but you saw how they'd have a chance. They have a really good defense. They have the reigning offensive player of the year in the Pac-12, and that alone should be enough for you to say, like, okay, this team at least has a shot. And then there's other factors, too. You know, returning four or five guys on the offensive line, having Brady Russell, Brendan Rice, Dimitri Stanley, and there was excitement about Brennan Lewis, too. At this point, you know, we know about this offensive line. We know the running backs haven't been able to produce at the same rate they did last year. And we don't need to dig into how much of that is their fault, how much is the offensive line's. It could be 100% the offensive line's fault. It could be half the offensive line. I'm not really sure, but that's not really a conversation now. Obviously, Brennan Lewis is disappointed. A lot of things have really disappointed. But again, like I said, 1-4 at this point, it's not like we thought it was out of the realm of possibility. I think that a lot of people said that probably 2-3 was the most likely place to be at this point, because you beat Northern Colorado and you beat one of Minnesota, Arizona State, and USC, with it being like a 10% chance of USC, 50 to 60% chance of being Minnesota, and whatever's left over for Arizona, 1-3 about. Obviously, those numbers change too after seeing like what USC is this year. But again, 1-4 was maybe not the most likely, but not all that far off from it. And while that doesn't make it feel any better, it is just worth remembering, okay, here we are, bye week is behind us, and maybe there's some changes. You know, bye weeks can be important. We talk about the importance of the bye week all the time. It's one of the first things you look at when you get the new schedule for the season, and you hope. I guess this year I kind of like having the earlier bye week just because it was such a tough early season schedule. If you're a veteran team, you might want it later on in the season. But there's a reason people care about that. And I think it's easy right now just to say, okay, who cares? Is it really going to get fixed in the bye week? Honestly, probably not. There were so many problems with what was happening that, again, I don't think that many of them are unfixable this season. I just think there's so many that fixing them all is really tough. And the good news is they had 2 weeks to work on it. And I didn't mention this because it kind of goes without saying, but Carl said that's what they did. They went, they tried to address a bunch of those problems, met with all the different position groups, met with everybody, and said, here's what we need to do better. And hopefully it worked. And again, going into a game against Arizona, it doesn't need to work perfectly. You know, I think that if you go out there and play like you played in the last few games, this is probably a pretty competitive game. I'm not sure you win it, but it's probably a pretty competitive game. And that's because Arizona, like I've said, just not good. I mean, they're 0-5 at this point with losses to, I don't know why my computer is loading slow, probably because I have so many tabs open, haven't closed the rest of these podcasts, all that stuff. But there we go. Let's just read through these results. And there's an ad. All right. Lose 24-16 against BYU. Lose 38-14 against San Diego State. Lose 21-19 against Northern Arizona. A bad Big Sky Conference team. That's FCS football. Lose 41-19 to Oregon, 34-16 against UCLA, a game that was actually pretty close. But, you know, the one thing they did is they benched their quarterback, Gunnar Cruz. They put in, Jordan McLeod, who looked really good, and he was a fast, mobile quarterback. But he's done for the year after a hit that he took against UCLA, and that was kind of the turning point there, although things were kind of slipping before that. This is a team that is every bit as down in the dumps as Colorado, probably even more so, as hard as that would be to believe for Buffs fans right now. It's a big week. Because if you don't get it done against Arizona, I mean, you just can't not get it done against Arizona. And this kind of is where the schedule lightens up for Colorado, because it isn't just this Arizona game. Next week, they go to play at Cal. And Cal has struggled this season. That's another team that's toward the bottom of the Pac-12. Now, again, the way that Colorado's been playing, I don't think that they're going to beat Cal. That would be unreasonable. I think that this Arizona game is going to be competitive, which is something that I couldn't believe even a week or two ago. But you're only a step away from beating Arizona pretty handily. And if you make that step, you are right there with Cal. And from there, you know, you play at Oregon. That is a loss. And there's really no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Unless Drew Carter is the second coming of somebody, you're screwed against Oregon. Oregon State, though, winnable. UCLA, I mean, you've got to improve every week between now and then, because that is a real college football team, a solid college football team. I think that they're probably a little bit overrated, but they're obviously on a different tier than Colorado is right now. Then Washington, hey, my Montana Grizzlies beat Washington earlier, so we'll see. Is Colorado playing for a Pac-12 title this year? No, it is not. Is Colorado playing for a bowl appearance this year? Technically, but I think that expecting a team, you know, what is competing for a bowl mean? And you look through, say you do beat Arizona, you do beat Cal, you do lose to Oregon. That's best case scenario through that 3-game stretch. And then you, that'd be 5 losses, so you can lose 2 more. How is this math working? You've got 1 win. And you've got Arizona, so that would be 2 wins. Cal would be 3. So then you've got to beat Oregon State to get to 4. And then you've got to win 2 of 3 against UCLA, Washington, Utah. You know what? Until you beat Cal, we're not talking bowl game here. This is a season where you're just trying to grow with a young team. And does that mean you're wasting a really good defense? Yes, it does. Who you lose next year on that defense? Obviously, Nate Landman is the big piece. Mustafa Johnson, who I don't know, we haven't even seen much of, so it feels weird to mention him as a loss, but you do lose him. You lose Terrence Lang. You lose... Oh, wow. Who else? Naeem should probably be around. Carson Wells, I bet, is still around. Those other outside linebackers are better around. I think Robert Barnes is gone. But again, he hasn't been, I feel like we can't even read too much into this defense at this point, just because they've been put in such bad situations. And Robert Barnes, as it turns out, is a role player. What's that role? That role is cover linebacker. And you see him on the field when you play, a USC, honestly, you should probably see him quite a bit. A UCLA, you should see him quite a bit. Against an Oregon, a Cal, probably not so much, just because they're going to go heavier. Who else do you lose from the back end? Is Isaiah Lewis? I I think you still could have him for another year. And some of these guys are going to be gone and honestly probably kind of pushed out just because there's scholarship rules and all that. But Isaiah Lewis technically could come back. So you keep a lot of this defense. You just miss a couple of pieces. And you expect growth, and you need linebackers to step up, and you hope Jack Lamb does that, and you hope Quinn Perry and Marvin Ham and John Van Deese is still around. Yeah, you're wasting what I think is still one of the best defenses in the Pac-12, but what are you going to do at this point? The job now is just to continue to build and grow and see if you can get as much of this offense ready to go for 2022 as you can. And that means developing Brendan Lewis, and that means building an offensive line that can produce something. That means producing for these running backs, getting production from these receivers, so that you don't have to worry so much about transfers. Because you will lose a piece or two, I'm sure, after a season like this. And who knows? It could be even more. But the more you can kind of correct things down the stretch, the better your chances are. So that's what it's about to me. It seems like Darren Cheverini, this is kind of a tryout for him. He needs to really, really turn things around to keep his job. The odds are very much stacked against him. And honestly, I did kind of think that there was going to be a change during the bye week. At the very least, taking away play calling responsibilities, and I thought there was a chance that they would just make him not the offensive coordinator anymore. But obviously for him, Brendan Lewis needs to take big steps in order to have a chance to really compete for this job again next year. And if he doesn't take big steps, he probably won't be a part of the competition. I don't know who is. I guess JT Shroud is back. Owen McCown, Drew Carter, and also you probably add a guy from the transfer portal, but you just got to build something. You gotta build something, and that's what this second half of the season is about. It's not nearly as much fun as competing for a Pac-12 title or bowl games or whatever, but it is what it is at this point, and we'll see what they can do. Honestly, those are kind of the thoughts there. But that's where I'm at, and it's too bad, because I did think that with this defense, with the talent that they have on offense, there's more there. But the only play that you can run that doesn't need a good performance from the offensive line or from the quarterback is a jet sweep. Just get the ball to a receiver who's just flying toward the edge of the defense. And even then, you need a block on the edge. Then they don't call those. And so, I don't know. It's a tough time. And there's reason to be hopeful for this week against Arizona. That reason is that Arizona, like I said, is to me the worst Power 5 team in America. If Colorado loses to them, that's pretty obvious what that makes Colorado. That's a task at hand. And it's honestly kind of a fair fight, which is something that the Buffs just haven't seen in a while, which is, it's a shame. But it is what it is at this point. There's no fixing it immediately. So, that's basically all my thoughts heading into this week. That's how I'm looking at things. Like I said, I'll be up in Boulder. I'll hear what Nigel Bethel and Jack Lamb, hopefully, have to say about these things. I might have been denied on one of those. Who knows? But we'll see. And it's a big week. It's a chance to get a win. And it's been a while since Colorado's had one of those. We'll be talking some hoops and stuff, too, because that's fun and exciting. But that's going to do it for today, and I will see you guys tomorrow.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.